Hey everyone, it's Michelle.
And Brayden.
And this is Spooky Shit. This week we're going to be talking about some haunted houses.
Yeah, I'm going to start and talk about the George Corwin / Joshua Ward House.
And then I'm going to tell you all about the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Warning, this episode may contain graphic details. Listener discretion is advised.
Before we get into it, though, I could tell you're about to talk. How are you? Me again, motherfucker.
God damn it.
He's trying to steal my lines. It's not cool.
Yeah, I was. You're quick with it, though.
I am. Because I saw you and I was like, hey. Because usually I just leave like a little bit of a pause to be like, all right. And then I put the music there. Now I know. No more pauses. Now it's just going to sound fucked up so I can make sure I get asked first. What you been up to?
Well, it's been a week, to say the least. So, actually, on Tuesday, it was my sister's birthday.
How old is she turn?
11.
Cute.
But yeah, it's just been a crazy week. I guess I'll start at the weekend.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't remember what I did Saturday.
Great weekend.
But I remember Sunday.
Okay.
My aunt and my cousins from Arizona came.
Oh, okay.
And, I don't remember. I'm not even going to, try to, pretend I remember.
But... Oh, Saturday? I thought you meant their trip at all. And I was like, am I just going to cut this all out?
Oh, no.
Actually, nothing happened this week. Let's move on.
Nothing happened. I'm fine. Actually, it was on Saturday. Okay.
Saturday did have plans.
Sorry.
Fuck, no, I knew
didn't
it.
Have plans, but on Saturday, my aunt from Arizona showed up to the house, and actually, no, it wasn't Saturday. It was Sunday.
I need to know the date for sure. This isn't cool that you keep flip-flopping. I'm going to lose my mind if I don't know the exact day.
It was Sunday.
What time?
That I do not know.
Okay. Well, we need to figure it out before we move on.
The time doesn't matter. But basically, on Sunday, my aunt from Arizona came, and they were basically going to stay here until yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were going down to TJ and
Tijuana.
They were going to fly from TJ down to, I don't know where actually, but they were going on a little vacay.
Somewhere.
And they just basically we're going to come here first and just hang out until Wednesday when they leave for their trip.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess on their way from Arizona, they stopped at one of my aunt's house and picked up one of my other cousins, and so they brought him too.
Brought another cousin along the way.
Yeah. And so so my house has been pretty packed, and it's been full since yesterday. But on
good full or bad full?
Depends on who you ask.
Ooh, drama. All right, you. What do you think? Do your cousins listen?
Yeah, they're just loud.
I meant, do they listen to the podcast?
Oh, no.
Speak your truth. I don't know. Speak your truth. Whoever it hurts.
No,
they're just loud.
No, they're just really loud. Well, because it's three girls. And mm-hmm. So my two sisters obviously are really close to them. My 11-year-old sister is really close to my youngest cousin and the three of them. And mm-hmm. then...
They're pretty young, all of them?
Yeah, they're all... pretty close. My sister and my cousin, they're literally only a month apart.
Oh, so pretty fucking close.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking close. And then the other one's in between.
Young teens and almost teens.
Yeah. And then the youngest one, I think she's a little bit older than Mila. I know that. My youngest sister.
Okay, that's really close to 11.
But still, my sister literally just turned 11.
Yeah, but it was a big day for her, and I feel like you're kind of discrediting that right now.
But anyways, they're just really close in age, and my oldest sister, she's not my older than me, but you know what I mean. My sister, the oldest
one. Okay. Your oldest sister.
Okay, yes. And my cousin, they're like super close. They're like super close. Like they're mm-hmm. always FaceTiming each other. They talk like every day.
Jeez. So, I've never been that close to a cousin before.
Me neither, honestly.
None of my cousins are my age.
Mine are like sort of my age, but they're all guys. Mm-hmm. And you know, just growing up, raised as a girl, it was just very...
They didn't know you're one of the boys.
Yeah, exactly. And now that I am, we just kind of like grew apart already, so...
Yeah.
It's not the same.
That's true. You don't have like that childhood bonding, years of childhood bonding. Yeah.
No, I wish I did. But so yeah, they're basically really close, and when they get together, they're just... They can get obnoxious just because they get
loud.
I was going
to say, are you going to say annoying? Just say it.
Oh, yeah. They can be loud just because they're always laughing and that, like, the stupidest shit.
Nothing's like, worse than kids laughing. I hate that shit.
No, I mean, I think it's funny. Like, because sometimes it's funny contagious. At first,
but when they keep doing it, it's like, yeah. All right, is it really that funny?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you guys even laughing at?
Or it's just like, because they'll stay up late and, like, be obnoxious at like 2 a.m.
Oh, and God.
That's when it's like, okay, dude, like, you know, keep it down. Like,
yeah, go to bed.
I gotta go to school. I gotta wake up early. Y'all yeah, don't.
Exactly.
But yeah. And then on Monday, my cousin had texted me. He's a little younger than I am. But he had texted me, I think, over the weekend or like on Friday night. And he was like, hey, I'm drunk. And he was like, I need a haircut. And I was like, okay. He's like, when can you schedule me in? And I didn't want to do it.
Drunk on a Friday night.
Yeah.
It was need a fucking haircut immediately.
Yeah, like, I need a haircut. So yeah, I was like, oh, how about Monday? Because I didn't want to do it over the weekend.
Yeah, I feel you.
And so I was like, how about Monday? And he was like, sure. So like after school, I like picked him up and everything. And yeah, I like cut his hair. Came out really nice. Well, at least I thought it did. His mom always has something negative to point out, but
she was talking shit about it.
Yeah, well, not rude like shit, but she just always like
it's being unnecessarily out. Negative.
Yes.
Yeah,
like because he has curly hair, and so when it dries up, I guess it gets pretty poofy, and so she was mm-hmm. like, the top's too floofy. And then I guess she was like, oh, like, did you really want to go that short on the sides? Because I gave him, like, a skin fade.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
You should just pretend and be like, oh, fuck, no, I messed up.
Right? I mean, no, it's just something that... I mean, I asked him. I was like, you sure you want to do this? Like, because he has done a fade, but, like, a long time ago, like, a skin fade. Mm-hmm. He usually just kind of keeps it, like, short, but never that drastic.
I mean, hair grows back. I don't know why she was, like, making a big deal out of it.
I don't know. But also, because he has, like, he had a little bit of pimples on the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she was, like, basically giving him shit for that. And I was
oh,
like,
my God.
That's normal. I was like, I have pimples on the back of my head as well.
I do,
like,
too. Whenever I scratch my undercut, I feel them.
Yeah, it's, like, super normal. It's just, you
it's
know,
a sweaty
sweat.
Scalp gang.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I was like, whatever. And my other cousin, the one that they brought down from LA,
mm-hmm.
he has long curly hair as well.
Like shoulder length? Longer?
Like, no, yeah, like shoulder length.
That's dope.
And he basically was like, you know what? Like, I wouldn't mind getting a haircut. And I was like, whoa, deadass. But I kind of had to rush it because his parents, like, came down to pick him up because he had, like,
oh.
an appointment or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like waiting for me, and it was like 10, and I was like,
that's stressful.
But it came out really good as well. I'll show
you.
Did you
cut off like a lot?
Yes, look, that's him.
Okay. It's yeah, it's shoulder length. Just about
shoulder length.
Length.
Very
curly. It looks so luscious.
It is luscious. And then this is the after.
Holy shit, it's just short. Hey, it looks really good though.
I gave him a little comb over.
Aw, it looks good. I like the curly long hair too. It's two different looks. I like it.
Oh, and then this was my other cousin. I'll show you his.
Just normal short hair. Waiting to see that back of the head acne. Oh, the skin fit looks dope. I saw no acne. It must be very small.
I mean, well, the video's kind of fast. You can notice it, but he's also very tall. So I'm like, dude, nobody's going to be able to see up there. No offense, but like.
Yeah.
Like, no one really
cares. Also
going
to be staring at the back of your head.
Right? I was like, you don't even leave the house anyway.
Also, the skin fade will grow out so fast into just a regular fade.
It will, which is why, like, even his sister and I have, like, kind of talked him into it because we said, like, it's very low maintenance. Like, you could literally go a while without getting a haircut.
Yeah.
Versus just, like, doing a regular, like, cleanup, which. I mean, either way, I don't mind. Like, and he doesn't seem to mind either. Like, he's been a loyal customer.
Speaking of loyal customers, me. He cut my wigs yesterday.
Because I drove all the way down by the border, not to the border, or like I didn't cross.
You're like, I was in Tijuana,
right next to the border. To drop off my aunt because they were going on their trip. And then on the way back, I was like, Michelle, I think I could stop by on the way back.
Yeah, you brought the whole gang with you.
Yeah, my sisters and Alaris.
I know. I was expecting like one sister for some reason. There was like four people walked in. I was like, oh, damn. Hello. I went into host mode. I turned on Bob's Burgers. And I was like, if this isn't okay, you guys, we have a hello.
They were like, no, it's fine.
Yeah. But he cut my bangs, and it was an experience. He even put on the wig for me, both of them. Now I know how to put on wigs. Yep. And I'm way more excited for Comic-Con now. Because I could see there's not hair in my eyes.
Yeah, they were really long bangs.
They were so long. I was saying that they're made for somebody with a big-ass forehead. They're going to make it for someone with a big forehead than a small forehead, you know?
True.
Like, what if they only just went halfway down my forehead? Like, that it would work for some people, but not for me.
True.
But anyway, now I'm a loyal Brayden customer.
I appreciate that.
Yes. But even though you were shaming my undercut,
because
it's grown out. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have been cleaning this up.
it always looks funny when it's growing out like that.
I have a little mole right now, but I didn't want to have to wash my hair, and I knew I'd be itchy if I didn't.
True.
All right, sorry to cut off your little weak explanation, but you said loyal customer, and I immediately was like, me, the most loyal and humble of all.
True. But yeah, that was my Monday, and I cut both of their hair, and then my brother, since I've been trying to get him to, like, let me cut his hair, because he has really long curly hair like my cousin.
Yeah.
But it's a little more afro-like, like a literally like way more afro-like than my cousin's, because his curls are more like heavy, so they're like come down. But my brother's is way more like afro-y, like he could literally like, I could probably shape it like an afro.
It's more like closed, I guess.
Yeah, they're more coiled, I guess.
There we go. Yeah.
Whereas my cousin's is more like wavy, curly.
Isn't it funny how people could just vaguely say curly hair, and curly hair could be so many different things?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be like super curly. Or usually they say coiled. Coiled, that's like.
That's your guys' fancy technical
like tight
term.
Curls, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was like, when are you going to cut my hair? And like, I was like, oh, you actually want me to now? And I was like, he's like, yeah. I was like, well, not today. I'm tired.
Well, that's too damn bad.
But yeah, and then on Tuesday, you know, like I said, it was my sister's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I originally wasn't going to go to school, but then I did go to school because, shout out to Summer, she went on vacation to Turkey.
Summer. Oh my god, jealous.
Right? But yeah, she came, her official day back was Tuesday, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for a little bit.
Aw.
And so yeah, I did. I went literally like for an hour. Just said hi, just kind of was like hanging out.
Made the rounds.
Yeah, basically. And then it was like break time, and I left during break time.
Nice.
But yeah, and then we ended up going to the Wave, which is a little like water park in Vista.
Oh, okay. Vista's like North County-ish, yeah. San Diego. Yeah. I didn't know they even had one.
It's all right. It's nice, I guess.
It's all right.
It's all right. But yeah, we basically spent most of our day there. We got there maybe like at 11. And then we stayed until like 3.
Did she have a good birthday?
They closed at 4, so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she had a good day. It was just we left kind of, we wanted to stay the full time, but we ended up leaving a little early just because I think we were all really dehydrated because it was hot as well.
Yeah, it gets like that every time you go to like any type of theme park in the summer.
Yeah, so we were pretty dehydrated and just getting hungry as well. And my sister like ended up getting a really bad like headache.
Oh.
So we were like, yeah, we should go. Because she was like literally crying. She's like, oh.
Oh, that's so sad.
But yeah, actually, when I was leaving the water park, I received some very sad news.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were going to share this or not.
I will. Hopefully I don't cry.
It's okay if you do. I'll look down and pretend I don't notice.
But basically, one of my classmates passed away, like, at school. I found out more today, but basically, you know, he was in the restroom. I guess he wasn't feeling that great. And, like, another classmate basically found him and was like, oh, like, he was still alive. And they basically found him, and he was like, I don't know. Not doing okay. And I guess he was like saying how, you know, like, I got him. Like, he was telling other people outside and like, I got him. It's fine. He's going to be okay. Like, we're going to go see him later. I'm going to go drop him his stuff off. But yeah, he ended up passing away. And
at school?
Well, no, I think at the hospital.
Okay.
But yeah, everyone that was at school, it was just because, like, I don't know, it's a big school, but at the same time it's kind of small, like, especially for the barbers, we're all like in little like one classroom, and we're all pretty close, like, we all get along. We're almost like a little family. And yeah. I mean, we literally see each other every day.
You see them more than your family, maybe, like, in some cases.
Yeah, dead ass. So it definitely hit hard for everybody. Like, they ended up letting everyone leave early that day and basically still get their, like, hours.
That's good.
And I was like, damn, because, like, I was just in shock, like, because one of my other friends, you know, like, told me, she texted me and told me, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, nah, you're lying, bro. And then she was like, no, like, fuck. I'm not. And I was like, stop, like, are you serious? And yeah, I was just basically in shock, but I was like still trying, you know, to not really let it affect me, because it was, you know, my sister's birthday, and like, we were gonna go out to eat, so I was just trying not to, like,
you didn't want to upset her, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I did tell them, but I was just in shock and kind of was like, I don't know, I guess you could say numb.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I actually didn't go to school yesterday just because I was like, I know myself. And I know, like, if I would have gone, because I'm the type of person that bottles stuff up. I don't really talk about my emotions.
Relatable.
Yeah, so I know myself, and I know just, like, from what they told me, like, the vibes and stuff, like, because I guess even the PM students were sent home that day, too, just because I guess, you know, you everyone showed up, and you could just feel, like, the, like, sadness.
Like, the energy.
Yeah, the energy of everyone.
Ugh.
But, yeah, because my mom's classmates, like, called her and told her, because obviously, you know, she didn't go to school, because we were, like, going to go out to dinner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they, like, called her and were telling her. And then they were, like, asking her if I was okay. Because, like, you know, I knew him. He was from the AM. And then, I mean, I was okay just because I was, like, I guess processing it still.
You're still a little numb.
Yeah, basically. Just shock and numb. And, yeah, I ended up not going to school yesterday because I was just, like, I know myself, and I know if I would have, like, started to cry, I probably would have unleashed everything that I'm holding in, which would have not been pretty.
I don't think anyone would have done anything. I mean, other people probably would have started crying too. It's a very sad situation.
For sure. But I know myself, and I think only Alaris has seen me get like that, where I just start crying over something else and like let it out. And like, it's even scary for her to see me like that. So like, I can only imagine other people.
Cause like, what is happening?
Yeah, like I'll literally like scream cry and like,
really?
Like ugly, like scream cry.
I cannot imagine that.
It's hard to imagine
as a silent stoic crier, just like staring off
most of the time. Yes, but that's what I mean, because I don't really like release those emotions, and that's not good. I know it's not. It's very unhealthy, but I don't know how.
On Fresh Off the Boat, they showed one kid that would do that, and he was like, had scream jars. He just had mason jars they'd scream in whenever he was having issues. He could try a scream jar.
You're right.
I don't know if that's healthy, but...
Probably not. But I mean, that's why I ended up not going to school, and like, obviously all the educators are super understanding. He was like, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I wish I could take this pain away from you guys. Yeah, I mean, I was actually telling Alaris this because I felt so sad, but I almost felt like a fraud because, like, I wasn't even there, but I still felt really sad, like, when it all happened.
That doesn't make you a fraud.
But in a way, I don't know, I guess I felt like a fraud because I guess everyone was there and, like, experienced it, and then I was just, you know, I wasn't there with them.
Do you feel like you shouldn't be feeling as sad as them because you weren't there?
In a way.
Yeah. But it sounds like you know that that's illogical.
Yes, I do know.
But that's just like anxiety and stuff things. Yeah. You know it's illogical, but you're going to think it anyway.
Yes, exactly. Like, I know it's super illogical, and that's even what Alaris was telling me. She was like, dude, you like knew him. Like, you know what
I mean? It's not like you didn't know him.
There. Yeah, I was like, just because you weren't there doesn't mean it's not going to affect you, but... Yeah. It's just how I felt. And then today, you know, it's just, you know, it was tough. Like, it was just very off. Because, like, his name was Chris. And he was just, like, the sweetest guy. Just his presence. He was always, like, you know, he was always there early in the morning. Like, and just, I don't know, his personality was very, like, big and caring. He was just always like saying hi to everybody, checking in on everybody, and just like you could feel, I guess, in a way, the emptiness.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I hate to say it, but like, you know, you could just feel a difference in the room, like without him.
He's like, missing. Or
like knowing that like he's gone. Because, you know, there was days where he wouldn't be there, and it's like, you know, whatever. But, like, the fact that it's like he won't ever be there.
That's hard.
Yeah.
How old was he?
He was, I believe, in his early 30s.
Oh, fuck.
Like, he wasn't old. He was pretty young. And, yeah, it's just, it's really tough. And, the school has been pretty cool about it. They actually had, like, a grief counselor.
That's good.
Talk to us, like, on Zoom today. And then, yeah, everyone was just crying because they, like, had to share stories about him or, like, you know, just memories. I didn't have the guts to stand up, but I did really want to say how, I guess from this little story, you can kind of gauge the type of person he was. Well, basically, you know, I like had switched to the AM, and he was, I was still fairly like, my voice was still high, like everyone, you know.
Whenever we played the clip the other week.
No. But everyone would just, you know, assume that I'm a girl, but he was one of the, like, the first ones that I guess just like fully accepted me, didn't even like question anything, like when I told him like oh, you know, it's he. Like, he was like, all right, like, that's what's up, dog. Like, he totally talked like that. And I don't know, just, he was, like, one of the first ones to, like, fully accept me like that as a man and, like, not question it and just be totally cool about it. And to me, that's just, like, a very special moment because, like, I don't know. I guess for, you know, a man to, like, finally see me as me is, like...
Like, as an equal, like, seeing you as another man.
Yeah, like, that means a lot to me. And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a really cool person.
He sounds really great.
He was. But yeah, I was like crying, so I didn't want to get up and talk. Because they had the camera on and everything, so everyone could see.
Oh no, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
Like, no, thank you. But our teacher, like, said a few words about him, and that basically made everyone cry because,
oh.
I mean, yeah, there's the way they talked about him, and he was saying how his mom was, like, saying a little story of how that morning he, like, said, I love you to her, like, twice in the morning before leaving the school, almost like if he knew, which is, like, fuck.
Fuck.
It made me cry, and I was just sitting there
crying.
That's
what's making me cry, and I don't even know. Oh, God. That's so sad. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But, yeah, it's just tough, because, you know, we're all really, really close. Like, we're always all joking together, and it's tough, and, like, everyone knows that. Like, everyone, you know, like, all the Cosmo students, like, they're all, like, asking us, like, you know, are you okay? Which is kind of like, you know, like, we're fine, but we're not, you know?
You'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Just stop asking me if I'm okay or I'm going to start crying.
Nothing worse than someone asking if you're okay when you're not okay. I'm like,
when you're on the verge of tears.
Stop asking me things.
That literally happened during the Zoom meeting. I was literally, like, shaking my leg. Like, you know, just trying to, like, hold back from sobbing. Mm-hmm. And then literally... my friend Aurora, like, she knows, she's obviously sensed it, because I was, like, hella, like, bouncing my leg and just, like, you know.
Trying not to cry,
and then she reaches over and hugs me, and I'm like, oh, God, and I just, like, started crying.
Open up the floodgates.
Yeah, basically, and I was, like, in my head, I was, like, why you gotta hug me, you bitch?
You bitch!
Just kidding, Aurora.
No, he's not.
Kidding. She's not a bitch, she's cool. But, you know, she was obviously there for me, but
yeah,
I was just kind of like, damn it, damn you. And yeah, Summer was also right there, but she was, like, sitting on the other side of Aurora, so she didn't, like, get up to hug me, but.
How, like, dare she?
Well, no, because, like, there was, like, we were surrounded by students, and.
Yeah.
The girl next to me was crying, too, and I, like, wanted to reach over and, like, hug her as well, but I was like, nah, because, like. We're cool, but, like, I've never
maybe not that
her.
Cool.
Yeah, I was like, I've never hugged her that cool, so I was just like, damn. But Aurora and Summer, they're, you know, they basically, like, after the meeting, they were like, come on, let's go outside, like, let's get you some air, like,
oh,
they're very supportive.
Good,
like,
friends.
They knew him, but not as much as, like, I guess I did or the other barbers.
Because you guys were, like, the AM barber crew, right?
Yeah. And
yeah.
We all hang out together. Like, I don't know. We just have, like, this, like, mutual respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. That's what I mean, that it's been a week. But, yeah, tomorrow, looks like we're planning, or they're planning, to, like, go over to his house and, like, do a little something for him.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
You don't think you're going to go to it?
No, I think I will. But I'm just saying, okay. Like, they're planning it. And
oh, you're just going to go.
Yeah, I'm just going to go.
Nice.
Because, like, I'm not as close as to him as, like, some of the other people were.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I know you've been through a lot this week. I wasn't sure if you're going to mention it or not.
Yeah, just to shout him out. Chris Mendoza.
Shout out Chris Mendoza.
You're a real homie. Anyways, how are you?
Gosh, I'm good. It was weird switching to trying to be positive now.
I don't know where to go with this. It's just, it's been tough.
Yeah.
Trying to deal with that.
I wasn't sure if you were going to want to record this week. That's why I texted him yesterday and was like, are you sure about doing my hair and recording? I was going to say, I could just ask Robert to join me again. He would have asked for a different story. He wouldn't want to talk about ghosts. I think he's scared of them. He's shaking right now. He's not even in here, but I know he's shaking in the other room.
Is he sleeping?
I don't know. Maybe. So, what's up with me is we're going to Comic-Con this weekend. Comic-Con's tomorrow at 9 in the morning. We're going to be downtown. Robert works 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. And he's not going to be able to sleep till after tomorrow. So guaranteed he's going to be up 24 hours.
Damn.
Yeah. So I hope he's sleeping right now. He woke up at 5 p.m. today and he was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to sleep before work. Actually, God, he leaves in half an hour. I think he's only sleeping half an hour.
Damn.
Jesus. I told him he should sleep on his lunch. And he's like, can I bring your laptop to work so I can study on my break? And I'm like, you can, but you should sleep. But yeah, it should be fun. Brayden came and cut my wigs. I'm going to be Marin from My Dress Up Darling on Friday, I think. And then Yor from Spy Family on Saturday. We're pretty broke right now, but I'm like, maybe we could spend a little bit on cool stuff because there's always so much cool shit there.
True.
I saw some Disney stuff whenever I was looking up things about badges. And I was like, I'm going to resist the temptation to get you something. I'm going to send you pictures and be like, yo, Venmo me and I'll buy you all this shit.
Dude, don't tempt me because I will.
I know you will. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I totally will.
Oh, yeah.
Be like those memes, the tap card on table.
Especially the thing I saw was Disney characters with pride rainbows on it. And I was
oh, Jesus. Oh, actually. My mom, the other day, just brought us these. They're luggage tags, Pride edition.
Cute.
Oh yeah,
I like them. They're the little Mickey ears with the flag on the outside, or just rainbow on the outside, I guess.
Yeah, I was like, this is sick.
Those are super cute. But yeah, definitely gonna send you pictures and try to peer pressure you into buy stuff, so then I feel better if I buy stuff.
Yeah, do it. No, actually,
we'll see.
I was going to say I'm actually going to, but not obviously inside the convention center. Just
wait, what day is he going?
I think Saturday. We're just going to walk around downtown, see what's good.
No, I was going to say there's shit to do outside too. Stuff that you don't have to have a badge to do. They have little things set up, the bars do special things. Mm-hmm. It's cute. Are you guys still going to dress up?
No, we've never dressed up.
Okay, well, I'm going to look like a loser standing next to you, Illyrius, and Robert, all not dressed up. And I'm just like, I'm Yor. I'm an assassin. And my black wig that you saw looks very strange on me.
Yeah, you would look very different with dark hair.
It was a look.
But yeah, we're planning to go on Saturday because my aunt usually goes with my cousin. And she invited us. So now we're trying to plan that out. But yeah, we've gone in the past before, just walking around downtown, we've seen.
That's what we did, in 2019, I think, because I forgot to buy badges. I worked a Saturday shift at our old stupid job that always had us work Saturday shifts the day badges went on sale. Badges. I know.
But yeah, we've actually met celebrities before from doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So random.
I have pictures with what was his name? Colton Haynes? Or Hayes from Teen Wolf.
Colton Hayes.
He's gay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was also in Lil Nas X's, what's it called? The one Jack Harlow's music video.
Oh, was he?
He's a security guard in it.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. We also saw Tyler Posey and Dylan O'Brien, but
Okay, so it's just the whole Teen Wolf cast there?
We saw them, but we didn't get to take a picture with them because it was we were too late.
Oh, okay.
But we saw them pass by, and then we actually got a picture with Colton Haynes, and then Alaris took a picture with this. I don't know his name, but he's an African American comedian/actor. He came out in, I believe what I remember him being in is Hot Tub Time Machine.
I don't know if I've actually watched that movie.
Wait, let me see if it's him.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is him. You've never seen this movie? It's actually really funny. Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson? Mm-hmm. I know who that is. He's like on The Office. Yeah, he's in The Office. And he's just like on a bunch of fucking shit.
He's a pretty well-known actor, but she met him. Oh,
that's dope.
And then we also met some characters from Supernatural. Yeah, not the main characters.
Sam and Dean!
Not Sam and Dean. We met the Asian guy.
The, like, teenager?
Yeah, what was his name? I think his name was Kevin.
I don't remember. Like, Kevin? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kevin.
Wow, I haven't watched that show in several years.
Me either. I'm like, I don't remember.
And he wasn't even a main character. And how do I remember his name?
I don't know.
I think he was, like, in one season.
True. No, it might have been one or two. And then we also met... They were actually together when we met them. I don't remember her name. But I remember, I think she was a demon. And she had red hair.
Red-haired demon?
Yes.
I can't remember right now. Lilith or something?
No.
I'm trying to remember the different demons. I honestly don't remember what they look like. Ruby? No, Ruby's just blonde and then dark hair. Oh, Abaddon. She's like a villain.
I think so.
I mean, she was a
demon.
Yeah,
that one.
Abaddon. Yes. Okay.
We have pictures with both of
them. Dope. Oh, that's so sick.
But yeah, I think that's all I remember. We also saw the guy from, the guy that looks like Sid.
That looks like Sid?
Sid from Toy Story. He looks like that because of his eyebrows.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know his name, but
I don't know his name either.
You guys are going to have to figure that one out on your own. He's got some intense eyebrows, though.
Yes, but he's actually like a Marvel character now. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I saw that, which is funny because I feel like his characters were like weirdos before and now he's like cool.
True. And they let his hair grow. He looks good with long hair.
Yeah.
I think they distract from his eyebrows.
Their eyebrows are a little intense, but they're cool.
Yeah, they're cool. No shame. But yeah, so it's definitely really fun.
Hell yeah.
We've gotten like free stuff before too.
Text me on Saturday because last time I went with Cherie, one of my sisters, a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Like 2018, I think. They also gave us, like, if you had a badge, they gave you free drink tickets. And we don't drink. So if we run into you guys and there's anything like that, we could give it to you guys.
Cool. Yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it's really cool because, like, they usually do stuff for, like, new shows and stuff like that. Because I remember we got, like, one year, we got, like, a big Simpsons bag. We got, like, some shark. It was, like, I think Sharknado.
I was going to say it was a Sharknado, but it actually was. Love it.
Or, like, there was one year where we went, like, to the American Horror Story, like, little thing that they had.
I remember going to a Good Place one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just have, like, random, like kind of bigger booths almost advertising stuff.
That's cool.
Not quite a booth. Because there's not, like, celebrities there. It's just, like, more interactive advertisement, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Like, I remember it was, like, a whole section for FX, and they had stuff from Archer, American Horror Story, and the Mayans.
That's dope.
And I think we, like, got something from, like, everything, and it was basically all free.
Yeah. It's really cool, anyone listening, like, if you ever happen to be in San Diego during Comic-Con, and you're like, oh, it sucks, I can't go, you could still go downtown, and there's quite a bit to do.
There's hella stuff to do.
It's so cool.
But yeah, or also, I think the most recent time, we like went to some event for like The Boys.
I haven't seen The Boys. I heard it's really good.
It's good, and it's also very like gruesome.
Oh, I wasn't expecting gruesome, actually.
It's actually, I'll warn you, it's like pretty gnarly stuff they show.
How many episodes? I'm like, I wonder if I could watch this all before tomorrow. Probably not. It's 9:40.
I don't think so. But,
oh, God,
yeah. It's pretty gnarly.
I'm going to go to sleep like right after this.
It's pretty gnarly and gruesome.
I didn't know it was gruesome. It just looked like...
Also very inappropriate.
Weird in a good way. Yeah.
Very inappropriate. But I think it's
good.
Which
I'm okay with.
Because nice. I don't...
Yeah, I definitely want to watch that.
I don't mind the gruesomeness.
I don't like gruesome, but I know when to look away. Usually it's obvious.
True.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's very disturbing as well, but, like, I don't know, I like it.
Good disturbing?
To me, yeah. To you, okay. Maybe, like, you're like, the fuck?
We'll see. I've had like a lot of people tell me on stream that I should watch The Voice, and that's really good. I just haven't done it because I'm lazy and I've been watching other shows.
I think what makes it good is like the storyline or the characters as well.
I like good characters. I hate whenever they have to rely too much on the plot and like the characters are just shit.
Oh, no. The...
Like, I like character development in my shows.
No, yeah, the characters are good.
That's dope.
But, yeah.
Nice. You know, I didn't even say. I did my subathon last week.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
So fucking well. We got 110 subs in one
God
day.
God damn.
Yeah. Like, 50 of them were from a single person.
Hey.
Shout out, Annan. I don't know if you're listening.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, right? It was so cool. So afterwards, we reached a total of 202 subs, which is the most we've ever had.
Damn.
The most we had before that was only like 170-something. And like 2 days later, 10 people subs ran out and it went back to 190-something. And I was like, 190 is still a flex.
Yeah, it's still a flex. Still better than 170-something.
Exactly. Still better than zero.
True. True.
Yeah, because I was starting to feel like down because for like 2 months, not even 2 months, like a month and a half, our subs were at over 100, which is crazy. And then it went down, so it was like 90, and I was like, oh, what if people don't even like sub during the subathon and stuff? And I'm like, damn, bitch, can't complain.
Yeah, you cannot. You're doing good.
Yeah. And I'm also doing a different sponsorship now that it's going to be done by the time this episode's out. It's kind of like an off-brand Among Us, but I'm not allowed to compare it to Among Us. It's actually pretty fun. I'm enjoying myself. Until last night, I was playing with strangers because none of my like friends online wanted to play with me. And like similar to Among Us, you know, like the whole point of the game is you lie to people, you trick them, you vote people out, yada, yada. There's a lot of kids that play this game. Mm. And there were some adults. And one of the adults was like saying that like this kid was like sketchy and stuff. And he was just like kind of being over the top. And I was like, bro, like, you could also be lying. He's like, I'm not lying. This other kid's fucking lying, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whatever. And we voted him out. And as he was getting voted out, he yelled like, you guys are all fucking, and then like said the R word and stuff. And I was just like, bro. So the next round, whenever we were all discussing as a group, I was like, yo, I want to know how to like report that person because they were just like being a dick. Like they were being way too much. Didn't think about the fact that he heard me saying that. Can't report people in the game. Whenever the game was over and he was unmuted and there was nowhere for me to mute him, my little character's name was like Nyx. I was like a little fox. They were like, Nyx, you're a fucking whore, you're a fat bitch, and you're such a cunt, and fuck Jesus. You and all this shit. And I was like, oh my God. It was crazy. I
want to report you even more now.
I know. I was like, you're not helping your case here, bro. It made me want to cry a little bit. Not because it hurt my feelings or anything, what he said, but just being yelled at makes me be like, oh my God, I don't like that.
Inner trauma.
Yeah, I know. And there's like literally the person he was arguing with was like a child. And I'm like, bro, you could tell this kid's like 12. Why are you upset? It's just dumb. The whole entire point of that game is to deceive people. And then they're like, I deceived you and you got mad and voted me off. You're a fucking whore. And I'm like, they were not the killer. We did kick out the wrong guest, but I didn't fucking care because they sucked. And then I stopped playing. They ruined the game. And I was like, I'm only going to play with you guys now. So let me know if you want to play because I want to play this game really bad. But this guy ruined the experience with strangers.
True. Damn.
But yeah, we got 10 people to do that so far. So that's another extra 110 buckaroos.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Probably won't get it for like a month, but still.
Still, at least you'll get it.
100 buckaroos eventually in my life. But I think that's all I've been up to.
Not bad.
Kind of a lot condensed down. My streams the last few days have like been the opposite of popping. They were doing like really well, like 20, sometimes even 30 average viewers. And then like last night it was like 12. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm just like trying to think like, it just doesn't reflect on me. It's just that everyone has different schedules. And sometimes bigger streamers are streaming at the same time as me. I even like texted Robert before. He's like, you're doing a great job. This doesn't mean anything about you. And I was like, I know. It's not me. It's them. It's not me. It's them.
It's not you. It's me.
just try to chill out. Even like the person I rate at the end of my stream, they usually had like 30 viewers and they only had 9 last night. So I was like, okay. So everyone's getting less viewers.
Yeah. It's just an off week. People are busy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's scary to think, like, what if that fast everyone just stopped watching, you know?
True, but.
Like, you'd be fucked. Unlikely. Yeah. Anyway, that's it. I'm ready for stories. All right. Get to it.
I'll get to it.
I like how long your week thing is. I mean, just in general, you're obviously talking about serious shit too. But compared to mine, I'm like, let me put all this into 2 minutes. I'm not a good storyteller. It doesn't make sense that I do a podcast. Robert's told me this too. He's like, you're not great at telling stories. I'm like, I know, I don't get it.
Am I good at telling stories?
No, I think you're good at telling stories. I think
maybe
so.
Maybe if I knew how to pronounce stuff, it would be better.
I think you're good telling. I think you're good at saying your stories. I think that I was going to say, I think that writing stuff down how we do makes it better. Because if I was just winging the story, bro, it'd be like 3 minutes long and it'd be done.
Oh, true.
Like no detail, nothing.
Or
I think sometimes in your person,
I'd be like, and then looking exactly. back at the article.
I think sometimes your personal stories, you do pause a lot, but I edit it out so no one has to know.
For personal stories?
Yeah. And the, like, whenever I'm asking how you are, sometimes you pause a lot, but I edit it out. And I do the opposite where I ramble, so you can't edit that out. And I just get to keep it in. 3 minutes of condensed Michelle's week.
Damn. And I'm over here dragging it out.
I'm just thinking about how funny it was. Because now that I'm saying that, it was funny at the beginning how you're like, Sunday. Thursday. Sunday. You're like, I drag it out? And I'm like.
You're right. I do. Because I never. I have like a peanut brain sometimes.
You need to tell me exactly. I need to know everything.
Right?
You're very more detail oriented than me.
I guess so. But I also forget the little details, even though it just happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh.
You forget the little details and you're like, I'm going to fucking remember and you're all going to wait with me until I remember the shit.
My bad, but yeah.
No, it's funny. I feel like I'm okay enough at editing it to where it's not as noticeable, you know? Like the Friday or the Saturday, Sunday thing, maybe I'll only make 2 guesses back and forth when I edit. Depends how casual
Friday,
it is.
No, Saturday. No,
yeah, Sunday. I won't keep in the whole. You guys, if you're listening and there wasn't 25 minutes of him doing that, that's how good of my an editing it is. Yeah. He was doing it for 25
You're
minutes.
Lying, bro. It was like 5 minutes max.
Everyone's listening and they're like, oh my God, she's right. It wasn't 25 minutes.
Well,
believe me, everyone.
It wasn't 25 to start with.
It was more like 30, right? I'm just going to lie and make you seem like crazy.
And then you're going to cut this out.
Am I gaslighting? Is this gaslighting? Is this what girl bossing is?
Oh my God, stop. Don't remind me.
I love all the stupid memes where they're like, the 3 G's, gatekeep, gaslight, and girl boss. I'm like, yes, damn. My mantra every morning.
She alerted that to me. I mean, she was just playing around, but she hella gaslighted me.
She girl bossed you? Oh.
She hella gaslighted me.
What did she do?
Because she called me like Brayden, and I'm like, hey, yo, because like, you know why are you calling me by my name? That's weird.
Oh, not like little sweet nicknames.
Uh-huh. And then I was like, what are you like, why are you calling me by your name? And she's like, what? No, I didn't. I was like, yes you did.
Oh, that's
and
stupid.
She hella gaslighted me and I was like, stop gaslighting me. And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, dude, stop. And then she just started laughing.
Bro, that's like Robert anytime that he starts. If I talk about gaslighting, or I'm like, oh, technically what you're doing is gaslighting right now. Like, this is it. Because sometimes he'll, like, ask, like, what it is. And he does it as a fucking meme now. I'd be like, Robert, that's gaslighting. And then he's like, what's gaslighting? And I'm like, I told you. And he's like, you've never told me before. I'm like, I fucking hate you, bro. Like, you're so annoying.
Yeah, that's hilarious. She was hella, like, messing
with like, what
me.
Is that?
Yeah, I was like,
you've never talked yeah. about it. You're going crazy. Yeah.
I was like, dude, stop. And then she just started laughing. I was like, you're mean.
I very easily second guess myself in situations. I'm like, oh my God, have I never mentioned it?
Did I say that in my head? Because like, I have done that.
What?
Where I don't verbalize it, but I think it.
I'm like, you don't get, I am crazy. You can't joke like this around me. I don't know what really happened.
Yo.
I'm crazy and I have bad memory.
Low-key, me too. All right.
Stories.
Yeah, I guess I'll start. I'm getting distracted. Okay. But yeah, my house has 2 names. You'll see why.
Oh.
The house is on 148 Washington Street in Salem, my favorite state, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. How'd you say it? The Massachusetts? Throwback to multiple episodes, I think.
Damn,
being good at that one.
It was
you to, mass.
Mass. Massachusetts.
When you say it slow, it sounds insane.
It was funny.
Like, if you say Connecticut slow, you're like, Connecticut.
Connecticut. Well, it's funny because I was, like, doing, like, some last-minute editing at school. And my classmate,
yeah,
she was like, oh, is that for your podcast? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, can you say this state? I was like, I fucking hate the state. Well, the name of your state. I don't actually hate the state because I don't know shit about it. But.
Everyone heard him. He
no,
hates
I
it.
Do not. But yeah, she like pronounced it. And then I started laughing because she said it right. And then I was like, she's like, how do you say it? And I was like, Massachusetts. And then she started laughing at me. And she was like,
it's like halfway through, you forget what word you're trying
right?
to say.
Yeah, literally. And then she was like, making me say it slow. And she was like, Massachusetts. And then.
There we
yeah.
go.
And then she's like, now say it fast.
Burglary. Say burglary.
Burglary.
Say three times fast. Burglarly.
Burglary.
You fucking did it, bro. Here's it. Burglary. Duh.
Burglary.
Stupid. You think I'm dumb?
I really tried to say it right.
Oh, I know. The face you made, too. You're like, got her.
But I was way off. Anyways.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
What happened
there? Anyways, this house is located in Salem, Massachusetts.
It's classic. Whatever. These are your trigger words that are going to haunt
Dude,
you for the rest
for
of your
real.
Life.
Anyways. It was originally the home of a man named George Corwin, who was a big deal in the witch trials of 1692.
Damn vintage. We've talked about those, by the way, way back when.
We have.
I totally forgot.
But yeah, he was a high sheriff during the witchcraft trials and was only 25 years old.
He was probably a dick then.
Yes, he was.
He was probably the one killing these people. What a bitch.
But yeah, many believe that he gained his position through nepotism because he was actually the nephew of two judges.
Oh, God.
Judge Jonathan Corwin and Judge Wade Winthrop. He was also the son-in-law of Judge Bartholomew Gidney. Or Jedney.
Bartholomew is by far my favorite name in
Dude,
the world.
My sister told me to like choose that as my name.
Oh my god, I wish you would have. Hey everyone, it's Michelle and Bartholomew.
I was like, dude, I wouldn't be able to even pronounce my own name.
That would make it even better. You should have named yourself Burglarly Massachusetts.
You're done. But the way she says it too, it's very funny. She's like, Bathor. I can't even do it.
You have to say very regal and like commanding.
Bathor, but I can't even. What the fuck?
Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
Robert's going to wake up to me just like, Bartholomew!
Bartholomew. Anyways. In his role as sheriff, he escorted the condemned by cart from prison to the execution site at the Proctor's Ledge on Gallow Hill.
He a bitch.
Which I've heard is very haunted.
Well, yeah, I'm fucking sure. All these innocent people getting murdered there. Mm-hmm.
As required by law, George would also confiscate the property of the condemned prisoners. Not land, per se, but belongings such as livestock, hay, apples and corn, and household goods such as kettles, furniture, and jewelry.
Are they going to keep it? Or just confiscate
it? Just confiscate it.
Oh, okay.
I guess it was a common misconception that witchcraft accusations were part of a deliberate attempt to gain the land of neighbors or fellow community members. But at this time, English law allowed the seizure of a felon's possessions, but this did not extend to their real estate.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing people thought. I honestly just thought people were cunts and that's why they were doing it,
right?
To be honest.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't think there was a logical reason. I just thought they were dicks.
They were dicks. But yeah, and I guess also the possessions of married women that were, like, convicted, all of their possessions were basically considered to be the property of the husbands.
Naturally.
Like, yeah. I was like, okay. But I guess if there was nothing to confiscate from the condemned married women, they could also, I guess, confiscate their husband's stuff. But yeah, I guess everything confiscated was supposed to be inventoried and stored to help pay for the felons' jail cost and support their family. However, it is known that Sheriff Corwin sold off some of people's livestock and, like, I guess he was known for being a little fucking asshole. And he had killed some of, like, the livestock, had sold some.
Ah.
So, yeah, he was not a good person.
Not your choice to make, bud.
But, yeah, in he actually used his home to interrogate most of, like, the condemned or, like,
that accused. Cannot be professional. Nope. Even in the 1600s, I imagine they had courthouses or something.
It gets worse.
Okay.
It is also rumored that he used his basement to torture and victimize the accused.
That's gross. Mm-hmm.
It gets graphic. I'm just warning you.
Ah, okay.
They say he had heinous techniques, earning him the nickname The Strangler.
Not a good nickname.
One nearly unmentionable method of interrogation involved Sheriff Corwin tying the neck of his victim to their ankles tightly with a rope until blood gushed out of their noses. I don't understand.
I would confess to being a witch immediately. Oh,
yeah. Most,
upon learning that he even does that. He wouldn't even have to do it to me. I'd be like, I'm a witch. Kill me.
Yeah.
It's fine.
They said that his methods were so severe that they would often pledge their allegiance to Satan just to end the horrific punishment.
He's like, aha! I have found the witch!
And, of course, shortly after confessing, they were usually executed.
Oh my god, that must have been so fucking awful to be any of these people.
But yeah, fucking Sheriff George was just an asshole. I guess he oversaw the gruesome death of a man named Giles Corey. After refusing to comply with the court procedure, Giles Corey was condemned to, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, but it basically translates to hard and forceful punishment.
Giles Corey, I feel like we talked about during the Salem trials, maybe.
I think we might have.
If you were going to say what I think you're going to say soon.
Yes. But basically, he was subjected to having stones.
Uh-huh. Yep. We talked about Giles. Tell everyone who doesn't know.
But yeah, he was subject to having heavy stones placed upon his chest. And just, they kept adding stones and some more stones until a plea was entered or a death resulted.
What do you think people are going to do? Maintain their innocence until they die? Well, what? There's literally no winning here.
There is not.
You die or you plead guilty and you die. Yeah. I guess I would just plead guilty so I could die faster at that point. Fuck.
True. But yeah, basically, he was 81 years old.
And oh my god, I didn't know he was so old.
They basically made him lie on his back, and they put this, like, plank, and then just piled rocks on him. According to some reports, when Giles' tongue rolled out of his mouth as a result of the weight on his chest, George callously used his walking stick to poke the tongue back in.
Ew.
I'm like, that's disturbing.
Actually, like a sociopath, dude.
That's disturbing. Given the shocking nature of his demise, as the time has gone on, a legend has grown surrounding Giles Corey's death. The tale claims that with his last breath, Giles Corey cursed Sheriff Corwin and the town of Salem. There is no evidence to suggest Corey ever uttered these words, but this has become a popular legend surrounding the sheriff. Another myth surrounding Sheriff George Corwin involves a man named Philip English, who was the wealthiest merchant in Salem. He, along with his wife Mary, were accused of witchcraft. Philip's wealth was that grand that he was able to flee to New York City, where he remained until the witchcraft accusations passed. I'm not sure what happened to his wife, but she might have gotten caught if she didn't go with him.
Probably.
Upon his return to Salem, he discovered that George Corwin, along with some of his own neighbors, had confiscated his belongings from his home, warehouses, to his shop. Furious at the degradation of his life's work, Philip English sued George repeatedly for years in an effort to regain his property. Ultimately, George died before Philip had obtained any satisfaction from his legal efforts. In a wild and desperate measure, Philip went so far as to threaten to steal George Corwin's corpse and hold it for ransom. Well, right? While most scholars believe this theft did not actually happen, more legends grew. This tale is often retold, claiming that Philip English did in fact snatch the body. Or another legend says that George was actually buried in his own basement for years for fear that he would be stolen from his grave.
The fuck?
But in truth, George Corwin was buried in the Broad Street Cemetery. And then I got a new name.
Oh?
The Joshua Ward House was a three-story federal-style brick house built in 1784. It is one of the first brick houses in Salem and was built on the same foundation of the George Corwin House. The Joshua Ward House gets its namesake after its owner, Joshua Ward, who was a very successful merchant during the given time period. Its interior woodwork was done by a noted Salem builder and woodworker, Samuel McIntyre. And I guess in it is an original staircase that is the oldest surviving staircase created by him.
That's actually pretty cool.
When Mr. Joshua Ward passed, the city of Salem took ownership of the residence, and it eventually served as an apartment building of sorts. Until 1789. No. Where, I guess, it already had, like, stories of it being haunted. Because obviously, like, some people died.
Some fucked up shit happened there.
A lot of shit happened in the house.
They call him the Strangler for nothing.
But yeah, in 1789, George Washington specifically requested to stay in the home. It was...
Like George Washington, George Washington?
George Washington.
So weird.
But yeah, I guess it was operating as a tavern during the 19th century. So yeah, it's been around.
It's the party place.
Interestingly, though, the house was set to be...
Shut up. Did you say that or was that me? That was actually that me. I said that, I think I said that in real life, or did I say it on the podcast? I don't know. I just remember before. Never mind. It was on the podcast. That was a self-burn. We're deleting it. Never mind.
That's fucked.
It's not funny anymore.
Whatever.
I'll keep it to make it fair.
No, I'm not going to be able to say it. Interestingly, the house was actually...
Sorry. You hesitated so much, I had to.
Anyways. The house was actually set to be demolished in 1944 to make way for widening of the street. Locals, however, banded together to put a stop to it by raising $42,000 required to move the house back a mere 35 feet where it currently sits.
Isn't that crazy? People just like move houses.
Yeah, it's really crazy. But it's cool.
Yeah.
In 1978, it was listed with the National Register of Historic Places.
Hey.
In 1983, it was added in the Salem's downtown district. And it was actually a museum for some time.
Oh, nice.
And it was actually very popular that it was featured on Ghost Adventures in 2011.
So was mine.
Since 2015, the Joshua Ward House now serves as a luxury boutique hotel called The Merchant.
How many people got tortured there?
Countless.
Boutique hotel.
A lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, they say it's a very traditional haunted house and very popular during Halloween. It is said to be haunted mostly by George and Giles, but also by those that died at the hands of George's tortures.
Is Loki a serial killer, dude?
Loki. But yeah, since this is now a small hotel and not a museum, visitors who are not booking a room but would still like to see the house should go to, I guess, basically go to front desk and ask them to give you a tour. And oh, they say that people who work there are more than happy to show people around as long as it's not for ghost hunting. But yeah, and I guess you can actually stay in the same room that George Washington slept in by requesting
the
George Washington King Deluxe.
I really thought they'd call it the presidential suite. This feels like a missed opportunity.
Yo, low key.
I'm like, you guys could have done better. Come on.
But yeah, that's the story of the Joshua Ward / George Corwin house.
Well, damn. Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I looked it up too. The witch one that I was talking about whenever I was like, oh, we've heard of Giles. That was literally February of 2020, aka like one of our first five episodes. 2 years ago. Yeah. 2.5 years ago, almost. I don't think we talked about George. I think we only talked about the actual, like.
Maybe you might have mentioned him, but.
Witches.
Yeah, I think it was more about witches.
Yeah.
More about
Giles.
Witches. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. George was the bitch. Mm-hmm. All right. For my story, I'm going to talk about the Josiah B. and Sarah Moore House, a.k.a. the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Dun, dun, dun.
Duh. I told Braden before this is going to be mostly low-key a true crime thing, but I found out it was haunted, so I had to do it. Because I wanted to talk about this anyway. I've heard of this before. I just didn't know it was haunted.
I feel like I've heard of it too, but I don't know.
Once I start talking, I feel like you'll recognize it.
Okay.
The Villisca Axe Murder House was built in 1868 in Villisca, Iowa. It's a Queen Anne-style home with 3 bedrooms and 2 stories plus an attic. The home wasn't bought by the Moores, the family that would make it infamous, until 1903. The Moore family consisted of parents Josiah B., 43, and Sarah, 39. Together, they had 4 children, Herman Montgomery, 11, Mary Catherine, 10, Arthur Boyd, 7, and Paul Vernon, 5. On June 9th, 1912, Mary Catherine invited her friends, sister Ina May, 8, and Lena Gertrude Stillinger, 12, to spend the night at the Moore home. That evening, the whole family with their guest attended a local Presbyterian church service where the kids participated in Children's Day program, which Sarah herself had actually coordinated. The program ended around 9:30 p.m. and the group walked back to the Moore home, arriving sometime between 9:45 and 10 p.m. The next morning, June 10th, started normally for the Moore's neighbor, Mary Peckham. It wasn't until around 7 a.m. that she began to grow concerned about the lack of activity by the Moore family, who by now would normally be outside and doing their chores. She went to the door and knocked, but received no response, and found that the door was locked when she tried to open it. Thinking that they were probably sick, she went to let out their chickens for them before calling Josiah's brother Ross, who lived in town, to come and check on them. Ross arrived around 8 a.m. and let himself into the home after also finding the front door locked and getting no responses to his yelling. After entering the home, he walked through the parlor to the guest bedroom door and saw 2 bloody figures covered by bedsheets and blood along a bed frame. Recognizing the severity of the situation, Ross promptly left the home and called the local agricultural store where his brother worked, telling the employee working to call the town marshal, Henry Hank Horton, and telling him that he needed to come investigate because something terrible had happened. Hank arrived within 30 minutes and entered the home for an inspection. When he came out, he was looking horrified and told Ross that he had found somebody murdered in every bed. An investigation showed that the family and their guests had all been killed sometime between midnight and 5 a.m. the night before. 2 cigarettes found in the attic suggested that the person or persons who committed the murders had maybe been waiting upstairs for everyone to go to sleep, but it was also theorized that they had broken into the house around midnight, entering via the back door. Once inside, they took an oil lamp from a dresser and bent the wick to try to, like, keep the flame low so it would give off very minimal light as they moved around the house. The killing spree began in the master bedroom, where Josiah and Sarah were sleeping. Using the blade end of the axe, Josiah was brutally attacked, receiving more blows than any of the other murder victims. His wounds were so severe that literally his eyes were missing when you looked at him after. The ceiling of the bedroom had a gouge mark from the killer lifting up the axe to bring it down on Josiah. While Josiah was killed with the blade of the axe, everyone else was bludgeoned around 20 to 30 times, actually, in the head with the blunt end. After her husband, Sarah was the next victim, before the killer went to the children's bedroom, systematically killed Herman, Mary Catherine, Arthur, and Paul. Here, evidence shows that the killer actually backtracked a bit, going back to the master bedroom to inflict even more blows to Josiah and Sarah, and in the process, knocking over a shoe that had filled with blood. The killer then next headed downstairs to the guest bedroom and killed the guest, Ina and Lena, the same way that they had killed the other children and Sarah. According to one source, I read that 12-year-old Lena had been sexually posed. She had her nightgown pushed up to her waist and no underwear on. It seemed that the killer had maybe attempted to molest her, but at least a couple of the things I read said that there was no actual sign that she had been sexually assaulted. However, she did have a gash on her knee and what looked like a defensive wound on the arm, so this makes her the only victim who had some evidence that she was unfortunately awake when the killer attacked her. The axe used to kill all the victims, which had been taken from Josiah's coal shed, was found in the same room as the two sisters. It was covered in hair and blood, and the killer had placed a 4-pound slab of bacon out of the icebox next to it. Based on what I read, I was given the impression that the killer had only struck each victim enough to kill them because, like I said, Lena was the only one who looked like she was awake. And I feel like if you're hitting someone in the same room as you 30 times, you know, you hear that. Mm-hmm. But maybe a couple times you wouldn't be as likely to know. You just like kind of like maybe just be starting to wake up. But yeah, my impression is that he killed them, then he went back through the house again once they're all dead and continued to bludgeon them, leaving them all beyond recognition. At some point, the killer also had ransacked drawers for bed linens and clothes, which they used to cover all the mirrors, windows, and reflective surfaces in the home. Untouched food and bloody water were also found during the search. I read one thing, people were talking about why they would cover the mirrors. And it was funny. It was a very simple explanation. One person was like, they could have just thought the house was creepy at night and just seeing their reflection walking around was creepy. I'm like, fair. Supposedly, the news of the murders were so shocking and horrific that they replaced the sinking of the Titanic, which happened just a couple months before, on the front page of the newspapers. An investigation into the murders led to questioning of nearly everyone in Villisca. Every transient and otherwise unaccounted for stranger was considered a possible suspect. Josiah's brother-in-law, Sam Moyer, was even investigated for reportedly often threatening to kill the man, but an alibi proved him innocent. Often. Like, how often are you threatening to kill him, bro?
Yeah, no.
Was it banter?
It could have been.
One of the main suspects in the killings of the Moore family and Stillinger children was Reverend George Kelly. So Kelly was actually a traveling minister from England who happened to be in town the night of the murders. He'd been described as peculiar, reportedly having had a mental breakdown as a teenager. As an adult, he was accused of peeping and asking young women and girls to pose nude for him.
Nasty.
Yeah. He arrived in Villisca on June 8th to teach at the church's Children's Day services that the victims attended the next day. Following the murders, he just happened to leave town between 5 and 5:50 that morning, a couple hours before the bodies were even found. During the weeks that followed the murders, Kelly showed like a fucking weird fascination with the case. He wrote letters to police investigators and family members of the victims. Suspicious, a private investigator wrote back to the Reverend and asked him for any details he may know about the killings. He replied with great detail, claiming that he had heard shouts and possibly witnessed the murders, but his known mental illness made investigators question if he actually knew these details or if he'd simply, like, imagined this story. In 1914, Kelly was arrested for sending obscene material through the mail, as he'd been sexually harassing a woman who applied to be his secretary. He was sent to a mental hospital and again looked at as a possible suspect. In 1917, Kelly was arrested for the Villisca Axe murders and confessed to the crimes, saying that God had whispered to him to suffer the children to come unto me. However, this confession was followed by hours more of interrogation, during which he recanted his story. Kelly went to trial for the murders not once, but twice, the first time resulting in a hung jury and the other an acquittal. The jury considered his confession to be false and believed that he was just suffering from mental illness. Possible business-related motives were looked into for the murders, shrouding even more people in suspicion. Frank F. Jones, a Villisca resident who happened to be Iowa State Senator, was looked at as Josiah had previously worked at a store for years before going and opening up his own. It was thought that, upset that Josiah had taken some of his business, Frank killed the Moore family. Or perhaps he had paid William Blackie Mansfield to do it for him. So, in the months and years surrounding the Villisca axe murders, there were several other axe murders of families around the country with eerie similarities. In the 9 months before Villisca, there were similar cases in Colorado Springs and in Ellsworth and Paola, Kansas. Some other cases, sometimes thought to be connected, were numerous axe murders along the Southern Pacific Railroad from 1911-1912 and the Axemen of New Orleans killings in 1918-1919. According to the Burns Detective Agency of Kansas City and Detective James Noon Wilkerson, William Mansfield, who Wilkerson suggested was a cocaine-addicted serial killer, was a likely culprit of not just the Moore family murder, but of all of these murders, and supposedly even a murder of his own family and in-laws with an axe. Wilkerson, the main advocate of this theory, believed that all of the murders were committed in the same manner, and that therefore the same person had likely committed them. He also noted that in each murder, the victims were killed with an axe and their mirrors were covered, and that the victim had left no fingerprints, perhaps because he knew his fingerprints were already on file in a prison. He also claimed that he could show Mansfield had been present in each of the crime scenes on the nights they took place. But as far as I could tell, I don't know how he was supposed to show that. In 1916, a grand jury was convinced to open an investigation into Mansfield, who was arrested and brought to Kansas City. However, payroll records quickly gave him an alibi that placed him in Illinois at the time of the Villisca murders. He was released and later won a lawsuit for his troubles in the amount of $2,200, which is about, guess how much? $60,000 today. $2,000 to $60,000? Wild. Damn. I wish still.
I know, for real.
The serial killer theory wasn't applied only to Mansfield, though. Another suspect in the murders was Henry Lee Moore, no relation to the Moore family, a suspected serial killer who was later convicted for the murders of his mom and grandma. There were theories that he possibly had been the murderer in many other axe murder cases, including the Villisca murders, but there's no evidence showing this to be true. It was more so just that he killed his mom and grandma with an axe. So, he killed everyone with an axe, you know? In 2017, the book The Man from the Train was published by Bill James and his daughter Rachel McCarthy. This book discusses the Villisca murders and their possible connections to other axe murders, and further speculates that Sirico is responsible for them. They ended up concluding that the crimes were committed by Paul Mueller, an immigrant likely from Germany, who was reportedly the subject of a manhunt in 1897 when a family who had employed him as a farmhand was found murdered. James and McCarthy believe that Mueller killed at least 59 people in 14 separate incidents spanning over a decade. He wrote that he likely selected families who lived near railroad tracks, ambushes victims at night using an axe found on their property, and covered the victims as to prevent the spread of more blood splatter. In some, but not all, of his suspected crimes, there was a bit of a sexual motive directed towards a young girl, and in this case, the young girl was Lena. The killer then would lock the door and leave the town before getting caught. While the theory is considered to be possible, unfortunately, it's been so long since the murders that I honestly don't know if we'll ever figure out what happened to the Moore family and their visitors the night that they died. But with tragedy, per usual, comes ghost.
Facts.
So over the years, the Villisca Axe Murder House has earned a reputation as being haunted, particularly by the spirits of the children murdered in it. In fact, there have been multiple paranormal investigations in the home, including one by Ghost Adventures, naturally. And they declared that it was haunted after finding numerous pieces of evidence. Some ghostly experiences include seeing apparitions or weird luminous orbs, like floating around. One visitor of the home wrote that they walked around with a flashlight, calling out the names of the children killed that night, asking them to turn their flashlight on and off. They got their wish as the light soon began to flicker for them. Visitors have also claimed to hear children's voices, in particular things like disembodied giggles and screams. Unexplained movements of objects around the house has been noted, and reportedly very specific times when a train passes through the town around like the time frame when the murders occurred, a strange fog can be seen going from one room to another throughout the house. And of course, cold spots can be felt around it as well. While most of the hauntings are related to the children, some people think that the spirit of the killer may still haunt the house as well. And one person claimed to get a recording of a sentence made by the murderer in one of the home's rooms, but unfortunately I couldn't actually find what the recording said. So it's hearsay.
It's a lie.
Since the Moore family murders, the house has gone through 8 different owners, most recently in 1994 by Darwin Lynn and his wife, who successfully renovated back to its original condition at the time of the murders. In 1997, the house was added to the National Register of Historic Places. In that same year, the Iowa Historic Preservation Alliance recognized and rewarded the home with its Preservation at its Best award. Today, local visitors who want to see the house can pay a small fee of just $10 to go on a daytime tour, though with limited hours. I looked it up. They're like 1.5 hour twice a week, some shit that. Or you could pay the more pricey, minimum cost being $428 to experience a nighttime tour where you sleep in the home. Yeah. I think it was $428 for 6 people. Every additional person, $75 more. And you don't, I mean, maybe you sleep in the bedrooms, but they say bring your own sleeping bag. So I don't know what's up with that. There's not even like a bathroom in the house. It's like outside of the house. They have to go to this place that has a bathroom and water and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I've never heard of a haunted one where they're like, you could sleep here, but bring a sleeping bag. Like it's supposed to be a camp out.
You could sleep here, but yes. Like, not in the bed.
Yeah, literally. The bed's part of the tour. They didn't have the greatest reviews. Some people are like, oh, it's so creepy and scary. A lot of people were actually complaining about the management. I guess like some lady that works there wasn't nice to everyone. But yeah, I know it was mostly true crime, but it's just too weird. Too weird to not talk about. Like, who the fuck did it?
Yeah, that's super sus.
I wonder, like, if it was on purpose that those other 2 girls happened to be there that night, or if it's just they got unlucky being there.
An accident.
Yeah. But, yes. You got anything else going on?
No.
Okay. Well, if anyone wants to email us, you can at thespookyshit.pod@gmail.com. You can follow us over on Twitter and Instagram at spookyshit_pod, and our website is spookyshit-pod.com. Let us know if you have any special requests for like stuff that you want to hear about or any of your own ghost stories you'd like to share. We're always happy to listen. And we appreciate you all, per usual, for checking out this episode and sticking with us. Yes, so sweet, so kind.
We love it.
We love it, thank you. And with that, we'll talk to you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.